Good evening, everybody. We have Parshas Shoftim coming up this Shabbos. And there are, again, many mitzvahs discussed in the Parshas that we're in right now. Rei Shoftim Kiseitze have a very, very large number of the 613 mitzvahs. And you can speak about a lot of different topics in Parshas Shoftim. However, one topic that Mr. Strassman actually was speaking about this coming Shabbos in Darchei Noam to end Shabbos or to, in the morning. Well, which slot do you have?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay. So up in the air, which slot will be taking? Mr. Strassman will be also tackling the sugya from a different angle. But there is a isser to be afraid when you go to war. So let's learn this in the Torah and the Rambam. And we'll learn that there is a fascinating discussion in the Rishonim. And we'll try to justify the shittas of the Rambam. And then come away with some practical lessons, as well as a halacha. So here is the Torah in this week's Parsha, Kiseitze LaMilchama. So that's not Parsha's Kiseitze, right? Towards the end of Parsha Shoftim, there's also Kiseitze. So when you go out to war, Aleivecha V'Arisa Sus V'Rechav, so what's going to happen? You're going to see the enemy's horses and their chariots, Amrav Mimekah, and you're going to see that they outnumber you. So what is going on in your mind? That's a pretty intimidating army that you're about to take on. Says the Torah, Lo Tira Mehem, you may not fear them. Why? Etc. So you shouldn't be afraid. That's number one. Number two, who's going to come out to tell you not to be afraid? The Kohen. This is known as the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. Right? There was a Kohen appointed specifically, anointed with the Shemen HaMishkan. His job was to give a special inspiring speech as the army went out to fight. And he's going to tell them, in Pasuk Gimel, Al Yareich Levavchem, don't be afraid, Al Tiru Val Tichpazu, Val Tarzu Mipneim. So again, so the Kohen Mashuach Melchama also gives reassurance, don't be afraid, why not, because God is with you, etc. And then there's round three. And Pasuk Hey, the Shotrim come out, these officers, and they say, well, who's the man who built the new house, and he has not yet kind of finished the job? He can go home. He does not have to fight the war. And who is the man who what? Planted a vineyard and did not again finish the job. He can go home. And who is the man who what? Just recently married. He can go home. And finally, in Pasuk Ches, the Shotrim add one more qualification. And they say, Mi ha'ish, what? Yeah, that's right. Hayarech, hayare v'rach aleivav. Who is afraid? So the Shotrim add that the person who is afraid can go home, because what would happen if he does not go home? He would have a negative effect on his fellow soldiers. If he's afraid, it's going to rub off negatively on the other soldiers. Okay, so very beautiful psukim over here. And again, if you really read the psukim, we'll say sharply as we did, you'll see that there are different layers, right? There was the original Isser, followed by the Kohen, followed by the Shotrim. And obviously, the Torah Shabbat will pick up on these things. But without the Gemara, first we'll just point out that the Rambam brings us down as one of the 613 mitzvos. The 58th mitzvah, Lo Ta'aseh, is to be afraid from the enemy when you go to war. Here's a key line in the Rambam we'll have to elaborate on later. So again, what can't you do? You, number one, you cannot be afraid. And number two, v'shalo nivrach mipneihem. And you can't run away from the enemy. So does anyone want to suggest why the Rambam needs to say that? Meaning, what would have happened if the Rambam just would have said, you're not allowed to be afraid? So that would be pretty high standard. But let's say you are internally afraid, but you're not running away. Is that usher? Or would you say, based on the psukim? Let's say internally you're afraid, but you're going to go fight. What would you say? Usser or mutter? Logically. I would have said usser. I would have said that's not allowed. You're not allowed to be afraid. That's how I would have phrased it. What do you think, Rabbi Weintraub?
You can't direct what's inside
of person's emotions. Yeah. Oh, very good. So how Asher Rabbi Weintraub asks.
There's a Kiyama mitzvah in there.
Oh, very good. So maybe one part of the mitzvah is not to be internally afraid, but like the Maisa mitzvah, you want to say, is... very good. So there is a, we'll say, non-American line in the Sefer Achinach, and I was going to put this on the Makoro sheet, by the mitzvah of Losach mode, where the Torah commands us not to be jealous and the Sefer Chinuch, and not in Parshas Yisro in Shemos, but rather, if I'm not mistaken, it was in Veschanan recently, in Sefer Devarim, where the Luchos Shnios are given, when we have the Ten Commandments the second time of the Torah. And there, the Sefer HaChinuch, again, is officially commenting on the mitzvah, I guess, of Lo Tesave, if I'm not mistaken. A different form of coveting that would lead to action. Where once upon a time, we spoke about this mitzvah in a shir. And there, the Sefer HaChinuch says, many people ask on this mitzvah, how can God tell me to control my emotions? I know the Sefer HaChinuch says, you can do it. You can do it, you know. Who is it? Skinner? B.F. Skinner, right? I got it right, huh? Okay. So I was a psych major in college, but Hanan practices. So I'm very proud of myself right now. B.F. Skinner said that he can condition anyone to do anything. So that's not the Torah value. We certainly believe that not only is there nurture, but there is nature. At the same time, you can really get over things. So again, that's a little bit controversial, but the Sefer HaChinuch himself says that evidently, from the fact that the Torah commands us to not be afraid, example, or not to be jealous, means you could at least attempt it. The Torah wouldn't tell you to attempt it if it wasn't true. Yeah, all right, so says, Jerome, what do you mean? How could the Torah tell you to love it? So ironically, loving is a little bit different because it's more about learning and nature. Yeah, but you're right. People don't ask as much as that one, right? Right, that's a very, very sharp question also.
Uh-huh.
Very good, very good. Right, yeah, it would only be a chimur hamevi l'day. Right, you're going to plot. You're thinking about a strategy, how to take it. Yeah, it's all lumbus there, yeah. Very good. That's right. Anyone else who wants to sponsor Stuart's sabbatical so he can work on these various projects, we'll meet after this year. Stuart's got some good ideas. All right, so that's I like the way Stuart automatically broke up the sugya like that. It was very sharp. All right, now I just wanted to point that out because we'll get back to it later. So it says the Rambam, Abachov alin olis gaber v'lamod olis chazik. We have a chiv to be brave, to stand up, to strengthen ourselves from within, to fight the enemy. And anyone who what? How do you violate this sin? Not by being afraid, but rather what? Chol misha yisog achor v'yichvrach. Right? So if you physically run away, if you desert the army in the time of war, that is when you have violated this iser. So very much in line with what Stuart was just saying, that, okay, granted the Torah seems to be talking about our emotions, but Chazal, as the Rambam is bringing down here, seem to be pinpointing physical actions, right? One would violate this mitzvah when he takes action to leave the war. Wow. Okay, now the many psukim the Rambam points out that speak of this mitzvah. So let's just point out that there is a very, very important machlokis in the Mishnah, Mesechah Sotah, Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. I think it's the eighth parak of Mesechah Sotah. It's always important to know in terms of Mishnayos, what Mishnah we're talking about. If I'm not mistaken, it's the eighth parak of Sotah there. The Mishnah is a very, very beautiful. It's speaking about the halachas of war. And there you see some pretty intense things that are practical nowadays in Sahel, where there is a lot of bitachon being spoken about in very practical terms by the Kohen Mashiach Mavama, where it's a real pump-up speech. But what does the Torah mean when this shoter gets up and says, and by the way, if you're afraid, you can go back from war. So who is this person who's afraid? Says Rabbi Akiva, it's talking about someone who's afraid. I.e., you see the guy you're about to fight, you know, who is avoiding that Israeli wrestler, right? They're afraid to fight him. That was going on in the Olympics recently. I didn't read up. Right. There's a lot of that, right? They were just physically afraid of him. Is that what was going on?
No,
it's Israeli. Israeli. It was an anti-Semitic thing. They just didn't want to fight a Jew. Yeah. I was afraid, you know, I didn't read enough about it. My sense was that it was an anti-Semitic thing. And then I read some other articles that people were just afraid of, just physically afraid of maybe the women wrestling. I don't know, different things. Either way.
Right.
Oh, so very good. So Jerome is coming back on topic, but that's not Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That is Rabbi Yosef Glida's opinion. Rabbi Yosef Aglieta's opinion is, what does it mean to be afraid? It means you're afraid that you are going to get killed in war because you sinned. And you know that you don't necessarily deserve to be saved. I mean, you know that you're guilty. You have a guilty conscience. So you're afraid to go to war because ha-misyarem in ha-avera shebiyado. And there's a third opinion in the Mishnah of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara points out that the only difference between Rabbi Yosef Aglieta and Rabbi Yossi is that Rabbi Yossi would say that the person's only afraid of the mitzvahs midoraisa that he violated, whereas Rabbi Yosef Aglieta would say someone who is even afraid of the fact that he violated a din d'rabbanan is also in this category. So basically, in essence, we have a machlokas tanaim Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yosef Aglieta, whether the pasuk is referring to someone who's afraid of the physical battle, or rather if someone's afraid more based on spiritual consequences. Okay, so the Gemara actually says there is one opinion over here that can tie the two opinions together. Namely, there is a brisa that speaks about someone who spoke against the halacha between putting on his tefillin shel yad and his tefillin shel rosh. So that's an avera, right? Especially what we do in the Ashkenazi community, where we make two brachos, right? So one after the make bracha v'laniach is not allowed to speak until after he has put on his shel rosh with a bracha and said the words baruch shem kavod malchuso lilam ver. We don't even answer amen or Kedusha, anything like that, but once, until you've said Baruch Shem, Kibbutz Malchus Olam Ve'ed, there's a shaila, actually, if you're about to say Baruch Shem, maybe you should answer Amen Yishmir Abba, right? But, you know, without getting into the fancy footwork on that sugya, ultimately, we don't speak, obviously, between the Tzvon Shalad and Shorosh. So let's say someone violated that din. So the Brisa says, he doesn't have to go fight, he's afraid. So whose opinion is like that? Is that like Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yosef Aglieta? So the Gemara says, that's not a very hard question. Clearly, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglieta, because Rabbi Yosef Aglieta was the one who said that what? You're afraid of your sin. Okay, fine. That was an easy question, but that was just a setup for the next question. There's another brisa that says someone who heard the voices of the incoming wagons or the sounds of their treason, I guess, what was that? Their shields, b'hirsia. And he hears the sounds of their swords, and all of a sudden the Mishnah gives a graphic display of someone who literally can't hold in his own urine. He's so afraid of the impending sounds, just the intimidating noises of the incoming army. So he's afraid. So whose opinion is like that? The guy who's afraid of that says, well, that's a no-brainer either. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion, because Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that you're afraid of the physical army. Says the Gemara, no. Do you know that Rabbi Yosef Aglieta would be moded to such a din? Why? Because Rabbi Yosef Aglieta, although he is the one who said that someone who is afraid of their spiritual sin is the one who is afraid, but he himself would admit to the fact that if you're literally urinating, if there is something physically obvious about your internal fear, you're having a negative effect on your fellow soldiers, you're going to have a negative effect on their confidence, and therefore even Rabbi Yosef Aglieta would admit that such a person should turn back from war. So we have a machlokas tanoim, but Rabbi Yosef Aglieta would admit that if you're afraid physically and it's affecting your composure to the degree that it's noticeable to your friends, then for sure you would not fight. You would have to go back. So imagine in Tzahal you have such a thing where someone who's afraid is going to take down the morale, and you hear about Chayalim who go in with confidence and, the real heroes who lost their lives. I just, the first thing that came to mind when I was learning this, preparing this year, was, the 18 members who died trying to defend Gush Katif? I forget the number, unfortunately. I'm sorry, I meant to say Gush Katif. It was 18, right? The number, I might have gotten the number wrong. It might have been a bigger number, unfortunately, but they, again, understood that there were Jews that needed to be defended, right? And there was no independence declared. Again, not the Jews who were defending the hilltop and that were killed by Jordanians. We're talking about an army of people that were killed. And I remember in interviews about that fight, they were saying that the very, very few survivors said that they were convinced that they were going to win. Like they were not afraid. They were just not afraid, even though they were at odds. Now, just while we're on the topic of Gush Etzion, it should be noted that the Gush Museum has a film now about the original settlers that died. Not the battle that I'm referring to, but I guess a very similar episode in history, but the original pioneers of Gush, who died and just tried to defend the land and didn't make it, they put out such a moving presentation in the very bunker where it actually happened. The Gush Museum. I would highly recommend it next time you go to Israel to see it. I hope it's still there. I was there 2 summers ago, last time I was in Israel. Very rarely, I will say, am I as moved by museums as I was by that particular presentation. So I would say that's like required visiting in Israel, in my personal opinion. Okay.
But this is talking about Milchamas Rishos, and it's always Milchamas Chova.
Very good. All right. Very good. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. All right. So now, yeah, that's a good question. Nowadays, all right. Let's go on. Okay. So yeah. So let's try to bring down the Rambam over here, and we'll figure out that it's not as simple as it seems. The Rambam brings down the halacha. Guess what the Rambam writes? Mia isha yorei v'orech levav. Who is the individual that the Torah is talking about? Kamashmo. It's talking about literally someone who's afraid of the army. Who does the Rambam paskin like? The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Akiva. She'ein belibo koach la'amod bekishre ha'melchama. He sees the tanks, whatever it is, and he just can't handle the pressure, so he just can't do it. So he's in the battlefield, and he literally can't do it. So once he's there, he has to rely on the Mikveh Yisrael. Who's the Mikveh Yisrael? The Ribono Shel Olam. And he has to what? Understand that Hashem can save him and he cannot be afraid. And guess what? Imagine if during battle he starts to think about his wife and children. Now, this is like, you know, very practical nowadays. Ela yimcha zechrona melibo, says the Rambam, a soldier has to erase those thoughts from his heart. V'yifne michal davar lemelchama, and turn his entire being to the war. Again, I can't stop. Adam, I guess a little bit more of a Zionistic sugi. I can't stop thinking about it. But Eli Cohn, you know, like Eli Cohn, he gave up his family life for the state of Israel to the degree that he begged the Mossad, "I don't want to go back. They're going to catch me if I go back." And he, you know, whatever. One last visit with his family, and he got to write Baruch Hashem a letter to his wife before he got killed. Right, wild stuff. We're talking about people who are not allowed to think about their family. Now. So let's say someone begins to think about these things, and he gets himself in a little bit of a frenzy. Over below sase, he has just violated a lo sase. So that's a tricky line on the Rambam, right? Because what did the Rambam not say? He didn't say that you what? Ran away. When did you violate the lo sase? When what? When you were mavil atzmo. What does that mean? You were afraid to the degree that what? You got yourself all, you know.
All
yeah, what for shtutz is that? Give me a good Yiddish word for that. What?
For hits.
You know, I need a good. I need it to be a good Yiddish word for that, right? So you got all anxious. So that is where you violated the Isser Midaraisa, and we're gonna have to. Again, I'm pointing that out very intentionally for that. We're gonna have to analyze this around them. Hey, so, and then the Rambam says even more charif things that it's even worse because you're responsible for Jewish blood. I mean, if you're not strong, you know, get out of there. The army is not for the faint of heart. But then the Rambam writes, "V'chol ha'nilcham b'chol libo," but anyone who fights with his entire heart, below pachad, without fear, v'tiyeh kavanaso l'kadeh es Hashem belvad, and his entire kavana is simply to sanctify God. Wow, what an amazing line. That if you fight 100% for the right reasons, there is a guarantee that you won't be damaged. Right, so clearly, you know, the Rambam is talking not only about physical but spiritual benefits, right? Because obviously people fall in war, right? But the Rambam is explaining to us that Hashem has our back in times of war, and it's our job to have bitachon. That is our job. Okay, now, if you learn this Rambam, it's very nice, right? You have to be brave, and if you're not brave, you violate an isser. But the Ramban asks an extremely sharp question. He quotes the Rambam, and this is the Ramban on his Asagos to the Sefer HaMitzvos. And he says, wait a minute, let's play out the scenario. Again, you're about to go to war, right? And remember the Shoter gets up and he announces, if you're afraid, you can go home. So according to the Rambam, if you're afraid of the actual army, you can get up and go home. But what happens at that very moment? The guy gets up to go home, and what? Everyone sees that he is afraid. And there's a public display of a person who is violating Issur D'Oraisa. Right? Imagine if I said, anyone who has eaten treif recently, please get up and leave. That's not appropriate. We don't generally do that stuff, right? So how could it be that the Rambam on one hand paskins like Rabbi Akiva, they're not allowed to be afraid, but yet, what does that mean? That means the person who calls out and says, if you are afraid, so of the war, so then you got a really big problem. Why? Because by the time he gets up and leaves, he has demonstrated his fear. That's not good, right? That's not good. Now again, is this really a good question or not? Why is this a good question? And what is it only a question on Rabbi Akiva? Is it also a question on Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Meaning, what if we pass on Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Rabbi Yosef Aglili got around this issue, right? What did he say? That what? That if someone's spiritually afraid, what do? We don't single out him because he's not. We don't want to publicize his sin, right? That's what we say. Oh, anyone who's recently married, or anyone who has planted a vineyard, or etc. And i.e. anyone who is what? Who is afraid of sin, so what? Leave. So no one actually knows why you're leaving. So if Peter were to get up to leave, we don't know if he left because he's afraid that he sinned. We don't know if he got up because he got recently married or if he planted a vineyard. We don't really know. So why is the Ramban asking this? To me, I apparently it's only a problem on the Ramban. I mean, if for some reason, I'm just trying to play it out. This made sense to me at one point. What? Very good, very good. So excellent. So seemingly the Ramban saying is that you're going to be calling out someone to leave once everyone else has already been cleared, meaning like people who are there. Right, right, exactly. But imagine getting up. So says the Ramban,
problem with getting up at that point.
If you get up.
It's not Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Only Rabbi Yossi was worried that someone's
going to
be...
Right, but guess what? But being afraid itself is an isser.
No.
Being afraid is an isser.
No. So he's not afraid, but he knows he will become afraid.
So you guys are already mechavim to the Meshech Chochmah. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. So the Ramban says this question. Again, that's an answer. You both nail the answer. But the Ramban says it doesn't make any sense to me because ask the Ramban, you're going to make an announcement. Everyone who's afraid, get up and leave. But the person is not allowed to be afraid. You're not allowed to be afraid. It's not a thing. The whole isser is to be afraid. So how can you then come around and say, anyone who's afraid, get up and leave. It's not allowed. Oh, so this is the kasha of the Ramban. And therefore, you know what the Ramban says? It's not a mitzvah that you're not allowed to be afraid. Rather, the Torah is telling you a promise. There's no need to be afraid because Hashem has got your back. But the Torah never meant to command you that you're not allowed to be afraid. So in essence, we have a machlokas, we've shown him, the Rambam says you're not allowed to be afraid. And the Ramban would say the Torah is promising you there's no need to be afraid. But the Torah would never tell you that you're not allowed to be afraid. Yeah, Amy.
I would have said, Pashas from the Pasuk, don't worry, it's going to be okay. So I would have said that it's not allowed to arise. Pashas.
Why lo sira mehem?
You could learn it both ways, but it's pretty to learn lo sira is really don't be afraid.
Right, I mean don't be afraid means there's no need to be afraid. There's no need to be afraid. Not you're not allowed to be afraid, right? Like right, when I tell my kids don't be afraid of the thunder during bedtime, right? I'm not saying you are not allowed to be afraid. I'm saying please go to sleep so I can go give a shiur. Okay, anyway, so hypothetically, if there is a monsoon at 8 p.m. on the dot, with the 8:15 shiur. Okay. So we got to also talk about the air conditioning. Is anyone hot? I don't know. It's not working for me. It sounds like don't be hot. But yeah, that's also BF Skinner. It all comes back to BF Skinner. I could be trained to be cold right now. Okay. All right. Thank you, Hanan. All right. Now, so that was the question the Ramban asked on the Rambam. And the Megillas Esther, again, ironically quoted in a Zionistic shir, you know, he's got the famous opinion where the Rambam doesn't actually hold this mitzvah to live in Israel, but he also writes other things. And the Megillas Esther, he explains that the Rambam can simply be justified. You know why? Yeah, it's going to be a little embarrassing, and that's not a problem. So let's play out the scenario. The Shoter gets up and says, anyone who's afraid, get up and leave. And the guy gets up and leaves. And that's a little bit bold because everyone's watching the scaredy soldiers leave. But what, we'd rather them be afraid and leave now as opposed to them being afraid on the battlefield. Says the Megillas Esther, Mashayu Mosifim Hashotim Lachol Yarei Sheyifarsim Cheto. It's going to be pretty embarrassing that they're sinning by being afraid, but that's okay. Kidei Shelo Yipol Leva Am Achar Kach B'Melchama. It would be a lot worse if, like, you're fighting the army and the guy next to you is crying or like, wetting himself. That would be a lot worse. So, therefore, yes, let's publicize his sin. Everyone's going to know that Reuven was afraid. He couldn't handle the pressure. But you know what? Once Reuven leaves, it's like the final cut of the team. You know, there was, like, the first draft, the second draft, whatever. And now you have the really brave soldiers. And it's almost like the lesser of two evils. Yes, it will be a public, embarrassing display of a sinner, but better do it now than later. Wow, what a fascinating idea. However, the Meshech Chachma has a different answer. And that was the answer of Jerome and Rabbi Weintraub. Now, I only saw this as Meshech Chachma because there is a Rav Aryeh Stern. Rav Aryeh Stern, as Americans would pronounce him, is a Ram, or at least was a Ram, at a minimum of 5 years ago, in the yeshiva known as KBY. Oh, very good. Same name, different person. Rav Aryeh Stern is also the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. So I was preparing the sugya. The Makoros I have learned until now, I got from, really, you know, the Minchas Chinuch, and really, you know, when you learn the Ram Sefer Mitzvahs, that's what you kind of get to. And then I Googled it in Hebrew, the Sugya, and I found a beautiful article by this Rav Aryeh Stern. So I Googled Rav Aryeh Stern, and I found out that the chief Ashkenazi rabbi of Jerusalem is Rav Aryeh Stern. But it's not that one. It is Rav Aryeh Stern of KBY. And it happens to be that I hosted Ariel Alman, Rabbi Alman of Frisch, who's making Aliyah on Monday for dinner tonight. We're very, very close with their family. So we had a farewell dinner for them, Zevi's Pizza, and they also don't have a house of their own right now, and all of their belongings are currently in Israel waiting for them. So we were happy to kind of give them a little bit of pizza for free. So we, I said to Ari, who went to KBY, oh, by the way, I'm quoting a rabbi from KBY tonight, Rabbi Aryeh Stern. He's like, Stern. He corrected me. Stern. So 5 years ago, they came out with a sefer called Machanecha Kadosh, I think it is, right? Machanecha Kadosh. So he quoted the Meshech Chachma. And what does the Meshech Chachma say? That you're not allowed to be afraid be'es ha-milchama. That's when the whole Isser applies. Only when you're what? In the actual battlefield. When does this whole announcement take place? Whoever's afraid, don't go to battle before the battlefield. So when the guy says, the Shoter makes that announcement, if you're afraid, go home, and the guy gets up, he has not violated anything. The whole question the Ramban asked on the Rambam was, the guy who gets up is going to be publicly violating Yenis Mirdor Isa. And it answers the Meshech Chachma, no, he's not. He's afraid just in time. He would not be allowed to be afraid on the battlefield. But at this point in time, there is no such Isser. And the Kehilas Yaakov, the Stipler, Gaon Zatzal had the same approach. He had many answers. Actually, it's interesting to note that the Stipler has a whole essay in the Kehilas Yaakov on this sugya. And he himself, again, he has a few answers, but one of them was this answer of the Meshech Chachma, and his language is the Ein Halav Ela Achar Shenichnas Bekishrei HaMilchama, which means all the while that you're not actually in battle yet, there's no formal Isser to be afraid. Yeah.
So
So that doesn't get into the issue. The person who announces, if anyone's afraid, leave now.
Yeah.
Does that touch on the issue of you're embarrassing that guy in public? You're doing it for good reason, but does that get into that at all?
For sure. According to the Megillah's Esther, you're embarrassing the guy in public, and it's okay, because if you don't do that now, lives would be at stake.
Right. So.
According to the Meshech Chachma, he would argue that you're not really embarrassing him in public because there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. It's like, you know, if you're not in the mood to fight, so again, you might feel peer pressure, but the Torah allows you to feel afraid at that point. So technically, you have nothing to be afraid of. It's like the guy gets off the ride to go to the roller coaster. Like, it's not, you don't want to be that guy.
You mean
but,
right.
But,
right, that's
right.
Saying.
You might not be the coolest kid out there. Right. You might want to, you know, stay. You might want to go on vacation for like a long time after that. AB and then Jerome.
According to everybody, they're not talking about any sort of training. So all these exemptions would not be for training an army. If you're not actually going into a dangerous situation, none of these exemptions would apply for training.
Right, so based, of course, right.
So according to this, I don't think Sal doesn't follow these exemptions today, but if they did, anybody that just got married or is building none of them would be exempt from training.
Wow, that's a very good point. So AB saying this is a big chumrah to say that I'm afraid.
Only b'shas.
But it's not mechama yet. Wow. Unless you know that there's no way of getting out of the mechama once you're in. But you can't just qualify for pachad once you're in. What are you going to say, Jerome? Oh. Right. Exactly. So that's Rav Yosef Glili, who understood it to be a spiritual issue. Meaning, if it was all about if you sinned, we don't want to embarrass the sinner. But Rabbi Akiva apparently said, if you're afraid of the physical war, it's, you know, it's a little bit more highlighted. Yeah, but yeah, you're right. We would never want to embarrass someone who violated an Isser, right? Yeah, you're right. That's what we do all together, to cover up the guy who sinned. Now, Rav Aryeh Stern, Shalita, issue, I hope he's doing well. You know, hopefully I'll thank him one day for this article. He has his own chiddush. It's a wonderful chiddush. He says, if you look at the Rambam closely, the Isser is only when you do an action. How does he answer the Rambam this way? That let's say the guy gets up and says, anyone who's afraid, get up and go home. So the guy gets up and goes home. That's fine. You know why? Because he hasn't violated anything yet. Remember, you're allowed to be afraid internally. You're only not allowed to be afraid, says Rav Aryeh Stern in the Rambam, if it leads to an outward display of fear. He says, la'asos ma'aseh shel pachtanut. It's only forbidden to do an action that reflects your internal fear. So, now I'm thinking out loud, well, is getting up and leaving an action that reflects your fear? Right, so like, and anyone who's afraid, get up and leave, and you get up and leave. That's an action.
Not during your phone.
Imagine, so he understands, Rav Aryeh Stern, that there's no Isser violated, all the while that the Isser is only internal. That's what he wants to say. The Isser is only Machmas HaPachad Yivrach V'yanos V'yasor Kohor, like the Rambam said, right, that someone's going to run away. So the Isser doesn't apply yet. So therefore, we apparently hold that as long as you're not like running away from the battle, in the middle of the battle, and you're not like having a negative effect on the guys at the side of you, so all the while that we're not at that point, you have not violated the Isser. Yeah. But the question is, why are we not embarrassing someone when we say? So is Jerome... assumes, right, that it all happens together. Right, it all happens together. Right, all right, I'm going to say, this is the Ramban's question. The Ramban is the one who asked the question. Okay, let's just assume, if I was to Marv, you know, the Rabbeinu Yonah is the one who extends this Isser to be talking about Bitachon in general. It says, you know, when the Torah commands us not to be afraid at a time of war, it means, Shem Yireh Ha'adam Kitzara Krova, anytime you see Tzara, you have to envision Tia Yeshua Hashem Belavavav Yivtach Aleha. So essentially, what the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, the Shari Tshuva, is that this is the paradigm for bitachon. Right? Anytime there is impending doom, we always have a chiyuv to not be afraid. And it's certainly very practical with like a delta variant, right, where people start to assume the worst and go crazy. So to me, when I learned this Rabbeinu Yonah, I thought of the delta variant because everyone's so afraid of impending tzara. And we have an obligation based on this week's parsha to not be afraid. In the same way, we shouldn't be afraid of an oncoming army. We shouldn't be afraid of any tzara. And again, classically, this Rabbeinu is quoted to be saying that the issur to be afraid, b'shas melchama, is another way of the Torah saying that you always have a chiyuv bitachon. You should never be afraid. You should never be afraid ever, because you always have Hashem to rely on. And as we started saying, L'David by Elul, what do we say in the beginning? L'David Hashem ori v'yishi mi ira, from who shall I fear? Says in Mitzvah David, Halo Hashem mo'or li, Hashem is my or. We just said L'David Hashem ori v'yishi. Once you have or, why would you be afraid? Wow.
So you're saying that the RCBC, when they issued that,
I don't know how you turned that on me so fast. That was very impressive. That's like classic Balabasim. Like, wow, that was brilliant, Robert. So you're saying, that's actually exactly where I was going with this, right? That we should all rebel against the rabbinic. So very good, Robert. That's very sharp. I'm proud of you. So ultimately, that actually was not what I was saying. But no, that was like, unfortunately, because it was Mamash Sakana. But again, I think the point is clear. Mr. Shasman will be elaborating more on Shabbos. Bezer Hashem, that, you know, obviously the sugya is trying to tell us that we have whom to rely upon, and Bezer Hashem, we should all be zocha to rely on him when we need him, but always live a life of meruchas nefesh. Bezer Hashem.